This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. The Indian historical epic film Mughal-e-Azam was released in 1960 and went on to set a new standard for Indian cinema. It was a tale of grand romance where the Mughal prince Salim falls in love with a court dancer named Anarkali, much to the disapproval of Salim's father, the Emperor Akbar. The classic movie has now been adapted into a Broadway-style musical, which will be showing at Istana Budaya in Kuala Lumpur on the 10th and 11th of August. Joining me today to talk about bringing this classic of Bollywood cinema onto the stage are the musical's director, Feroz Abbas Khan, choreographer Mayuri Upadhyaya, and lead actress Neha Sargam.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us here.
Thank you.
How did the idea of taking this iconic, and we're going to hear this word a lot, I think, in this interview, iconic, classic. How did the idea first spark from taking it from film to the stage?
I had watched the film when I was very young, but in 2004, there was a color version that came in. And we were performing a play called Tumhari Amrita with Shabana Azmi and Farooq Sheikh. And I myself and Farooq were very skeptical because we thought that our imagination was so vivid in the black and white that the color would actually destroy that. So we were not. But Shabana said, come, let's go and see how it is. I saw the film and the magic continued. And then it struck me that it has actually a theatrical structure. And it just occurred to me that what if this could come on stage? What joy it would be to do. And then I did a research and I realized that originally it was a play. Then it was inspired from a play and then made into this beautiful film. But as all, things, you imagine certain things, but you realize that there is also a limit to your imagination because you shouldn't imagine Mughal-e-Azam. You should imagine lesser things because there's only one Mughal-e-Azam can ever be made.
Right.
And there was no way that we could create that magic on stage at that time. So I just forgot about it. Till in 2015 end somewhere, I just, broached that subject again. And to the National Center for Performing Arts. And they really liked the idea very much. And then we had to go to the people who owned the rights. And they were the Shapurji Palanji people. And not only did they want to, give us the rights, they said we would also like to be partners in that.
Right. So these are the original producers of the film.
That's true. So they are the ones who said we'd like to come as partners. So it's very interesting that it took Kaisif Saab's about 10 years to make the film. And I had only 2.5 months to produce the play. So it's quite a different journey. And I would say that this actually is a tribute to the genius of Kaisif.
And the movie is originally from 1960?
Yeah, I mean, they started making it from 1950. And then it ended up being released in 1960,
And at that time, it was the biggest budgeted Indian film to release and, still has such a huge place in Indian cinema.
Yes.
Can you explain a little bit about why the movie is so significant?
I don't know. It's very difficult. But there are many theories you can have. In hindsight, we are all very bright. But if you look at it, if I can pinpoint, there were a couple of things. One was that India had just become a free nation in 1947. And the other thing was that this was also about a voice of a common man in the sense that a common woman and her desire and her asking a question that people who are not rich or people who are not powerful don't have a right to love. So I suppose that those two things and the other factor was that this had a feel of a composite culture that Akbar married to a Jodhabai, and that whole feeling of a nation that had just come out of partition had that healing touch that we as a nation are one. There's a composite culture to it. And then, of course, this love story of a common woman says, "Pyar kiya to darna kya? If I love, why should I fear?" And the right to demand that I also have a right to love. I think all these things put together, and the fact that it was so beautifully, you know, made, and then you had the, you know, you had to just look at Madhubala and you'll fall in love. And then you had this Dilip Kumar, and you had these great actors. So all the great actors, great writing, outstanding writing, great music. I mean, it's just a perfect film. And it was a perfect film at the right time. And I think that's the reason.
And now that this film is a musical, and a musical that you can see on stage, what can the audience expect when they come to watch it?
You know, it's a live performance. So naturally, it's very, it is the same text, most of it. So you could say that we have kept most of the memories and we have added a few memories. And so what you will get is the spirit and a lot of text of the original, but you will find a new energy to it. And I think, to me, one of the things that really distinguishes it, the fact is that it's a live musical. It's that the choreography of this this play adds a completely different dimension to it. And I think that's what something I feel may not be there in the original, what it's here. So it makes that way very, very special.
So in that sense, people like Neha, who will be playing the role of Anarkali, you'll be both singing, well, actually you'll be doing singing, dancing and acting all at once.
Yeah.
And what is it like to step into this amazing character played by an actress, all of which have become synonymous with Indian cinema in so many ways?
Yeah, it is actually a very, very big thing. And not only the actress, I have also got the responsibility to sing Lata Mangeshkar Ji's songs.
That's right. Yeah.
It is a big challenge in itself. I think it's a very difficult job which is to be done. At least to the extent where people love what they listen to and love what they watch. And I think, it is difficult. But Sir Feroz Sir never made us realize that we are actually going to do a very difficult job, because he always made us believe that you have the potential to do this and something beyond this. So I think he made it very, he made it look very, very much possible. But yes, later on we realized, after people told us, that it's a very difficult job to do or to pull off.
Do you remember the first time you watched Mughal-e-Azam, the movie?
I have watched the film, not in the theatres, of course. But even on TV, I would watch it in bits and parts, because I was young, very young, and a lot of Urdu went overhead. So I was like, of course, I used to enjoy the songs, Madhubala's beauty and everything. My parents used to watch glued on the sofas, but I would watch, keep running here and there and watch in bits and parts.
So what do you think you've brought to the role that makes it your own?
I think I bring in my own emotions. I bring in my own reference to the scenes and how I relate to it. And of course, I won't say the way, I will not have the same process of the thoughts which Madhubala must be having at that time. I always do it as per that day's emotions. I mean, I always bring in how I feel that day or whatever reference I have for the similar emotions. So I think that is the change that I get. And of course, I sing it in my own voice, nowhere close to Lataji's voice. So I think I bring in my own taste to it.
What was the casting process like, Feroz, to assemble a group of people who could bring these characters to life, both while staying true to the original, but also bringing something new?
I think the first thing I realized that I was not going to take anyone who was a name, because I needed people who were very fine actors, singers. I think that was one quality, and also had to look the part, okay? But I wasn't looking for duplication. I wasn't looking at people trying to imitate the original, because that would be wrong, because it's a different medium and it's a different experience. So I was looking at, to be put it very honestly, I was looking for pure talent, and it didn't have to be coming from here or there, wherever it could come from. And I was looking for new people, because I thought that that when you have new people, that desire to excel is really very strong. And then they give that extra thing, which people who have achieved something may sometimes not. So you may get experience from them, a certain level of craft, but that kind of X factor that you're looking at. And I think that, so I wanted new people. I wanted new talent to be in this play.
And speaking of adding a new dimension, we cannot talk about Mughal-e Azam without talking about the dance, because Kathak is such a big part of what makes so many of the scenes. Anarkali is a court dancer. So Mayuri, when you came on board this project, how did you think to approach choreography for the show?
Very frankly, when the first time when I met Firoz sir and the entire creative team of Mughal-e Azam, during the first discussions, I asked them, I'm not a Kathak dancer, so you must go for somebody who's a choreographer in this form. And I'm glad they didn't change their minds and they stuck to their initial thought. They said, no, we want you to design it. It's not about Kathak. And I was truly inspired by that. And I said, fine, we will definitely do whatever it takes to make this happen. But we put a condition, I put a condition saying we will work with only pure practitioners of Kathak who don't have too much influence of Bollywood. So keeping the epic, timeless epic of Mughal-e Azam and keeping Firoz sir's vision of what it needs to be, I think I would have been able to add justice and, add a different dimension to it, add flavor to it only if I stuck to the classical form of Kathak. So while we're treating a Bollywood epic, we are still working with the beauty of a classical art form coming from our country.
We need to go for a break now, but when we come back, I'd really like to hear more about reimagining this story and how you create that spectacle again on stage. I'm speaking to the people behind Mughal-e Azam, the musical, director Firoz Abbas Khan, choreographer Mayuri Upadhyay, and lead actress Neha Sargam. We'll be back after a short break. You're listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Back. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. I'm speaking to director Firoz Abbas Khan, choreographer Mayuri Upadhyay, and actress Neha Sargam, who are behind Mughal-e Azam, the musical, which will be showing at Istana Budaya on the 10th and 11th of August. The musical is a stage adaptation of the classic Indian film of the same name. And as most people who are familiar with Bollywood would know, Mughal-e Azam has these sets that everyone remembers, these costumes that everyone remembers, certain dance moves, certain expressions. Now, when it comes to recreating that on stage, how far do you go in terms of making it your own? How do you decide what to keep, what to change?
See, the nature of the medium itself is a change. Because in a cinema, you have a camera and it can go anywhere. Whereas in theater, we just got one frame. And within that frame, you have to create so many worlds. Mm-hmm. So naturally, it's a medium that has made it. That's a huge change that has happened. But you also have to realize that, in cinema, you had the facility of these big sets and so on and so forth. Here, we had to have the same seamless quality in a film, and films are edited. So in the end, you see all that seamless quality of a lot of pieces of film that have been thrown off, and then you join things together. But on stage, it's nothing of that kind. So it still needs to be very seamless. So here is where we got in technology. So we have projections, we have digital projections, and with that, we have big real sets. So all of them together gives it that seamless quality. So that facility that we have now, which we didn't have some time ago, so you're able to go from one scene to the other without any breaks. And we have about 43 scenes. And normally a play has three scenes in the first act and maybe three scenes or three, four scenes in the second act. That's how plays are, because a play are a lot of talking. But in this play, it's not just talking, it's also a visual spectacle. Mm-hmm. So I think to put all that together was very challenging, but that's how it becomes completely different. And the other thing is that, I must admit that when I was doing the play, I was hugely, you know, aware of the fact that I'm paying this as a tribute. But there's also a problem there that you, in trying to pay a tribute, you may, you know, maybe completely shut your imagination and say, I like to do it exactly the way it is. But I think it is when I, when Mayuri spoke to me and when we met about, you know, about the play and we started talking and when she started interpreting the pieces of choreography, it wasn't that she was just saying, okay, we've got this song already. We'll, you know, no, she was constantly interpreting. And I think when she talked to me about her interpretation of that iconic song, Pyar Kiya To Darna Kiya, with that, you know, mirrors and yeah. Sheesh Mahal. And what she was doing, that she was giving another layer to the interpretation. It wasn't just a straightforward thing. And in the original, most of the time she's dancing. There's hardly any other dancers with her. But here, the dancers became a kind of a conversation with the lead character. And the way, you know, she was talking about it, I think that also allowed me to expand my imagination. Because then I thought that, no, let's do the original, but it needs to be reimagined. And that imagination from her, from my lighting designer, from my projection designer, I think all of them, I and of course Manish Malhotra's outstanding costumes, each one of them was reimagining it. I got all the reimaginations together and then orchestrated the reimagination. That's all I think I've been able to do.
And Mayuri, tell me more about how your idea for Pyar Kiya To Darna Kiya came about and what is it that you're trying to do with the choreography?
See, Pyar Kiya To Darna Kiya is the most toughest challenge I think I've taken. It's an anthem for every lover. And I think it holds good till date. Even the younger generation knows of this song. I think it speaks of the spirit of love in itself to, you know, stand beyond all obstacles. And
essentially, Anarkali is confronting the Emperor Akbar.
Yes.
With her declaration of love for the prince, right?
Yeah.
And I think in the movie, it's sort of reflected in this Sheesh Mahal, the Hall of Mirrors.
Mm. The set is wonderful. And you see her reflection in the entire set. You know, there are pieces of mirror through which the reflection is caught.
Right.
And I think it's the moment where Salim also realizes how much she loves him. And I think this moment is somewhere relatable to every young woman because when they're in love, I think they can do anything, you know. So it's kind of a feminist statement also of sorts, you know. So when the song had to be, this was the most intimidating moment of this whole musical. So I decided actually to watch the piece of work in film. I saw 5 minutes of it and I stopped it. So the inspiration for this song has actually come from when I was not looking for it. So I was sitting 5:30 in the morning, sipping coffee, listening to birds and listening to morning chants. And that's when an idea clicked as to what I want to do in this. So here in the choreography, every girl, every dancer is Anarkali herself. And they're all speaking of two kinds of spirits. One, the mood, the emotion, the angst of Akbar, you know, that he's not able to control her love. And second, the spirit of Anarkali, where she wants to declare to the entire world that I'm the most powerful and that's purely because I'm in love. So these two emotions are played with in the choreography and you see shades of black and white.
I think this may be an appropriate time to have a bit of the song sung by Neha. What about that?
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Why
Neha?
Not? I mean, the mood has been set to hear a small piece from her.
I am thrilled to hear Neha sing. If you would indulge us.
Yeah. I know, yeah.
So I'll sing the last antra. Chup na sakega ishq hamara चारों तरफ है उनका नजारा छुप ना सकेगा इश्क हमारा चारों तरफ है उनका नजारा पर्दा नहीं जब कोई खुदा से, पर्दा नहीं जब कोई खुदा से, बंदों से पर्दा करना क्या, जब प्यार किया तो डरना क्या, प्यार किया तो डरना क्या, जब प्यार किया तो डरना क्या.
Thank you.
You waved towards me. Bandon se parda darna kya? I mean, I was stopping you. I mean, you know.
Akbar,
she needed someone to be the Akbar.
But why me?
As the only man in the room, the default felt.
No, actually, Akbar is...
That's Akbar right. is a man of power and authority, so yeah. That's why she's looking at you.
You are the one right now.
Although you were clearly holding back and being much too humble about you singing. I got goosebumps just listening to you.
Thank you so much.
So, I mean, in that sense also, there's something to be had with the live experience.
Yes.
There's something that the live experience can add to the story. Absolutely. Both in terms of, you know, the choreography that Mayuri right. talked about, in terms of the performance that is different from day to day.
Yeah. See, like, for example, songs. When you hear a song that's recorded and then it's done in the movie, there's always a disconnect. But here, they perform in character. So the singing is not just singing. It's actually storytelling. Mm-hmm. And the vehicle for storytelling is right there in front of you, live. That's a huge difference. So the same song can be sung very beautifully. Now, many times this happens that in the studio, you're singing a song. You may not necessarily be doing... Now, the actors come in, they try. But if the song has already been sung in a certain way, it can be a reductive process. But whereas in a live performance, so they don't sing a song. They live the pain, they experience the pain, they express the pain, the joy, the ecstasy. That's what live musicals are all about, which is so different than just watching a film.
Ironically, while the musical on screen is so popular, so overwhelmingly popular in India, the stage musical is not nearly as common a feature. Do you think that something like Mughal-e-Azam, and you know, it's done very well since it premiered in 2016, I believe. Do you think that this could perhaps pave the way for more people to try not just adaptations or reimaginations, but perhaps even more original content when it comes to stage?
Yeah, I think that this actually, to me, I never looked at, honestly speaking, I never looked at it as an adaptation of a film. I thought that it is in many ways like a play. And I'm going to do it in a medium because original roots are in theatre. So I actually looked at it and I always wanted to do our own work. I mean, one could have picked up a regular Broadway play or popular one and done that. But I think we've got so many of our stories. And I'm sure that one Mughal-e-Azam is not enough. We need many more people doing many different kind of things. And I think once we have at least 10 to 15 productions like that, the audience is only going to grow.
And how is the Sheesh Mahal going to be recreated on stage? I think that's something everyone will be curious about.
Yeah, now I think radio cannot communicate. But what radio can do is far more than any television or any visual medium can do is serious imagination.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. I think that's so beautiful thing about radio.
No, that, and I think with Neha's voice and the way Mayuri spoke about the dance, all that's left is for you to paint a picture of the Sheesh Mahal for us.
Do it on the stage. Yeah, I can only tell you that it will surprise you because it's you have the feel of the Sheesh Mahal, but you will imagine beyond the Sheesh Mahal also. And I think that's been done with the combination of everything of all, I mean, Pyar Kiya To Darna Kya is a perfect piece where every department is performing at its peak. The lighting designer, the projection designer, the sound designer, the music, the acting, the performance, and of course, Mayuri and her team of extraordinary dancers. It's that one piece where you will see the, you see that, you know, everything has just got together and it just takes you into a different world. It's very difficult to describe, honestly. I mean, these some things you just cannot describe. And Pyar Kiya To Darna Kya on stage cannot be described. It has to be experienced.
We've had people in tears when they watch that. We've had people applaud and we've had people shout and scream
whistle
for once more.
Once more, yeah.
And that is such a high. And I think that's the most amount of reciprocation we can have. It's better than an award.
I think many people want to say Pyar Kiya Jodna Kiya. Yeah. I think that's a day that they also get a chance to express finally.
I've had so many and friends women who have sat with their parents to watch the play, and they have ended up telling me that it was like you were singing my emotions. I wanted to say that to my parents. You were saying it for me.
Yeah. So it's a very strong feminist statement. Yes. I mean, in that time and age, and for a woman to stand up to that kind of power, it was, and Akbar, and to tell him
it was a war,
and that I don't care, I'm ready to die. If I'm not scared, you know, I mean, if I just feel that if I'm in love, then the line that she sung, "Parda nahi jab koi khuda se, bandon se parda karna kya?" He says that if I don't have any distance, or rather, if there is nothing between me and
inhibition,
God,
yeah,
then why should I be scared by a mere human being? Mm. If I can access, if God, I can communicate with, access God and talk to God, then what are you? You are just merely a human being. So to say that to a sovereign, you know, monarch at that time, and I think that spirit of that woman, and also what has really interestingly happened in the play is that while the original is a very masculine film, this play has a lot of feminine quality to it.
Mm.
And that has added, the women voices in the play are very strong. I didn't realize it till a few people, brought to my notice. And I think that's where the girls that are there in the play, there are quite a lot of them. And I think the way it's been interpreted and the way they are performing, they are really speaking up. They are not subservient and they're not there to, you know, be scared to speak, which perhaps was there in that time, you know, you would not speak to men in a certain way. But in this play, it's not like that. So it has got that quality, that kind of a gender shift that has taken place, and which also makes it far more contemporary.
Mm. Yeah, no, but that was actually going to be my question as to whether a movie made decades ago about a story set, you know, hundreds of years ago, what kind of relevance does it still hold to an audience today? And was there ever a thought that perhaps you needed to contemporarize some of the themes in this story?
No, because I think there's nothing about the themes. There are some things which are, a classic is eternal. I mean, those things don't change. You know, you may have different forms of it. People still want love. People want to fall in love. And people still continue to believe in love, despite the fact that most of the time loves don't last. But you still believe that somewhere at the end of the day, if I could find pure love. I mean, that's what it is. So I think those things don't change. But of course, the rhythm and the way the play is done, it has a contemporary beat. The film was very long. This is a 20-minute play. Okay. And so the way it goes, the younger generation is able to relate to it. And there was one thing that I remember Vidhu Vinod Chopra, the filmmaker. He met me after the play and he told me, you know, I think before the play actually, and he said that I was not going to come to Mughal-e-Azam because I didn't want my, you know, whatever I had imagined and seen Mughal-e-Azam to be smashed with something, you know, that...
Which I think would be a concern for a lot of people.
That was a concern because, see, memories are very fragile. And those memories are so precious for all of them that they have been something that which they have lived their life. They've almost become equipment of life for them. And they're so precious because one of the things that Mughal-e-Azam did, that it gave vocabulary of love. People could express love by expressing things from Mughal-e-Azam. And now to somebody come up and people had some very bad experience. There was this atrocious thing called Sholay that was remade, you know. And so, you know, which was Ram Gopal Verma Sholay.
Oh, yeah, Aag.
Yeah, yeah. So you know.
The remake of Sholay.
Remake of that. So I think people had already seen that a remake or something of that can have very disastrous results. So they didn't want. And Mughal-e-Azam was very precious. That was still an action film. But this was love. And love is very precious for them. So they didn't want that. So he told me that my trainer, a 19-year-old girl, she told him that, "Sir, I've watched a play and I will buy the ticket for you and I will give it to you and you come and watch." So he said that if a 19-year-old girl can relate to a piece like this, there is something about it. And that's what it is, that when the younger generation comes and watch, it's the kind, the theatrical language that's used, it's very contemporary. It's not that I have made it, you know, the language modern or anything of that sort. It is still classical, but the rhythm, the pace, and the nuances and particularly the gender shift has made it more contemporary.
Yeah, and I would like to add one thing when you said the gender shift. I think the girls of this era are actually promoting it more, sir, because he has kept that feminism respect intact. He has removed one of the violent scene of Saleem and Anarkali. He removed it and he kept it very subtle, and he said, no, this Saleem is not going to slap Anarkali.
Right.
So he removed that slap from the play.
Which is, I think, also kind of interesting in terms of how these themes and the way we look at these dynamics between man and woman can change. And yet the story, the core of the story doesn't change.
Yeah.
What about as an actress for yourself to take on this role with the awareness that it is such a feminist icon? It is something that at that time was revolutionary, and in many ways, as you rightfully pointed out, can still be something that's quite challenging for a woman to speak up for what she wants.
Yeah. I think I totally relate to it. I think I have been like that, and most of the girls of this generation are like this. And I think every era has had such women. I don't think that, you know, this era has all the women who are very liberated or anything. I think every era has had such women. So it's only to take, you know, examples from such women and take it ahead.
So before we end, I'd like to hear from each of you, and I'm sure all of you have watched the show so many times, the one scene that for you, you still watch and it still just gets you at that right spot.
Okay, I'll pick a dance moment itself. I'll pick two moments, actually. In Pyar Kiya Toh Darna Kya, when there is a bit where we are speaking emotions through our ghungroos.
The ankle bells.
Ankle bells. So there is silence, and that is communicating what's going on in the mind, and it's messing the brain. So when the rhythm happens and the reaction of the audience in that silence is magical for me. That's one. And second, in the end, when the two bodies of Saleem and Anarkali are leaving, the way Feroz sir has interpreted it and added his visual poetic bit. For me, that's signature of Feroz Abbas Khan.
Neha?
I think in terms of the scene, I think the last scene for me with Akbar, where he sentences me to death and gives me a chance to meet Saleem for one last time. And for that one last moment that he gives me with Saleem, I forgive him for all the things or the sentence that he has given to me. Mm. I think that is the scene that really, really gets me.
I think they have
they've
pretty
picked
much picked, so I'll pick something else. And I think this is something that the audience relates a lot, is when Jodhabai is asked by Akbar that she must give him the sword to fight against her own son. So for her to give, and she knows that Akbar has never lost a war. So for her to say, you know, to be put in that position, and she says to him that for me, I'm losing both ways. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, you know. So for her, that moment that she's going to find either a husband's blood on that sword or her own son. What a choice that she has, you know. So as a mother, as a wife and as a woman, I think to me that's an extremely, extremely difficult moment. And I, apart from the fact that what both of them have said, those are my favorite. But I get really moved by this particular scene, because her dilemma is very, very identifiable.
And what a gamut of emotions, just the three scenes that you've picked.
Yeah.
I think it encapsulates all the different facets of the story that you can get when you watch something like Mughal-e-Azam. Well, it's been lovely chatting with the three of you.
Thank you.
I'm very much looking forward to the show. Thank you for coming to talk to me today.
Thank you very much for having us. Yeah, and we would like you and all the listeners to come and watch. We won't disappoint you.
I've been speaking to director Feroz Abbas Khan, choreographer Mayuri Upadhya, and actress Neha Sargam about Mughal-e-Azam the Musical, a Broadway-style stage adaptation of the epic Indian film that is now held up as a classic of Bollywood cinema. The musical is playing in Istana Budaya in Kuala Lumpur on the 10th and 11th of August. The show will be in Hindi with Basam Lesha and English surtitles. And tickets are priced from 164 ringgit to 470 ringgit. For more information, visit www.galactics.asia/mughale-azam. If you missed any part of this interview or any previous Front Row segments, you can download the podcasts on our BFM app. You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.